just a few fellas on a podcast, ripping in the pitching jokes and sharing some laughs. Rob Ryan, the drug, Jerry Bernstein. Ooh, they want to know if it's something, if it's anything.
Guys, I'm so excited to see you. It's been a couple days. You know, we've had guests. We did a Patreon episode. I haven't been able to tell you about some really fun things that have happened.
I've even had conversations with you, and you wouldn't tell me what was going on in your life.
Yeah,
because you wanted to save it for this episode.
I was like, I got so irrationally angry about something that happened in a sort of like service industry capacity. And because I waited tables for so long, I feel like my patience for service industry people is like extremely high. But for some reason, there was something that happened that just like ticked the absolute wrong box where I was just like, I don't want to do this and it is wrong and I am not going to put up with it. So I used a company to make my shot glasses that I sell for merch when I am on the road. And I was pretty happy with these guys. Nothing really special, bad or good. I was just like, right, sounds pretty good. I want to reorder another order of my shot glasses. And the reorder is important because when you order for the first time, they charge you a setup fee. And so you're always really excited about the reorder because you don't have to pay the setup fee again because they've already done it. So I go to the website, hot to trot, can't wait to do my reorder. I see there's no button for reorder, so I hit up the live chat. Very impressed with the live chat. You know how sometimes it's a live chat, you got to wait for a long time. Right away, someone's on the live chat, and I'm like, hey, I want to reorder some of these things. And they're like, all right, all we need is your name, your order number, and your phone number so we can call you and make the order happen. And I did not want to do this over the phone because I don't know, maybe I mumbled my words or something, but I hate the, all right, I'm going to read you my address. Now you read it back to me. Now I'm going to read you the address that I want the shot glasses to go to. Right now you read that back to me. Okay, now I want to, what am I paying for exactly? What is the breakdown here? Okay, but what if I change that number to this number? Is that going to change my costs at all? You know, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't get any of that. Jared, can you repeat? It's all very garbled.
It's like way too complicated.
Like spending time with your...
And I'm like, it's too complicated. And I feel like it's a lot easier if you do it over email or over the chat. So I said to the person, does it have to be over the phone? Can't we do it here in the chat? And they said, no, it has to be over the phone. I was like, well, what about email? Why can't it be email? And they're like, it can't be email. It has to happen over the phone. And I was like, listen, this is true. Also, this was not bullshit. I have been having a lot of reception problems in my apartment and I do not want to deal with the bad reception, with missing the call, with having to call back, with you not understanding what I'm saying. So can we please just do this over email? They're like, no. We can't do this over email. So I was like, you know what? Maybe this is just this person. So I was like, all right, thank you very much. I'm going to try again tomorrow. Try again tomorrow. Exact same thing happened. And I'm like, I don't know what this magical thing is that needs to happen over the phone that can't happen over email, but I'll bite. Like, I'll see. All right. Get on the phone with this person. And they're like, hey, how's it going? You know, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, what do you need? Like, how many, where do you want it shipped? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, can I tell, I do not want to do this over the phone because I don't want to have to read you all these addresses. And what if you hear it wrong? What if, you know, what if there's like a miscommunication? Like, why can't we just do this over email? They're like, we don't do it over email. We only do it over the phone. I'm like, there is no reason for that. And they're like, wow, you know, we got a lot of, you know, there's no email. Like if you send it to this email, it would get lost. And I was like, all right, but you have an email, right? Like I could email you and you could do it, right? And they're like, and so he let all these questions. I was like, this is one email. Just ask me these questions in email. I'll shoot it back to you. Easy peasy lemon squeezy, you know? And finally, he was like, all right, if you want, you can put your order over email. And I was like,
yay.
I can't wait to do this. So I get, all right, what's your email? And he goes, all right, sweet. I'm going to send you my order right now. And he goes, before you send me the email, just tell me all the information that you are going to send me in the email. He didn't say it like that.
I love it.
He said it even more annoying because he was like, wait, one more thing. Where do you want me to send the shot glasses? Wait, one more thing. How many shot glasses? Wait, one more thing.
I actually love this guy now. He's my favorite now.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I'm going to read the email. I promise you.
But just for like, you know, for shits and giggles, why don't you just tell me how many things you want to order? Just so that I know.
Because I want to confirm. I want to make sure the email is the same as the words I just heard.
And here's the thing. His email was like tomcruise@jerrymaguire.com. Is that like totally fake email?
I remember when I first started working at Trader Joe's, One of the few things I knew was like the cookies section and the candy section, the holiday stuff. And a customer came in and they were like, oh, do you have milk chocolate almond bark? And I was like, oh, we only have dark chocolate almond bark. That's all we carry. And they were like, oh, okay. Do you have that, but in milk? I was like, you.
Oh, that is so very funny. By the way, with your story, Brett, did they know they were being cheeky?
I don't think they knew. They may have. In retrospect, I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt that they were being funny, but at the time, I was just like, no.
So anyways, long story short, the thing that nailed it for me, the thing that I was like, I am not going to order my shot glasses from you guys, was I was like, all right, well, I'll send you the email. And then at what point are you going to charge my credit card? He's like, well, I'll email you an invoice. And I was like, oh, so that's an email. That's an email. Okay. I was like, you know what? Cancel my order. And I went back to like another company.
Whoa.
I actually just gotten an email from them being like, hey.
From Nathan?
I got an email from them that was like, hey, you ordered some hats from us years ago. If you ever want to order something else from us again, we'll give you 25% off discount. And I was like,
first of all, thank you for emailing me.
I'm sorry, I would have called, but I'm having trouble getting through. It's like, no, you did the right thing.
It would have been even funnier if it's like, hi, this is Nathan from 4 Imprint Order. I just wanted to check it. No, just stop fucking calling me. Plus, it's been a year since your last order. You know, I like that personal touch. Like, you get the fuck off the phone, mister. I don't like this.
This is all going to be an email.
Were you expressing yourself just to be clear, is it because you don't like the phone? It was the garbled. You want to make sure you got it right.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Did you say that like, hey, I just want this in writing, like that's all I want. I just want to make sure that I've got like proof that we have the right order. Like, is that basically what you were asking for?
No, I mean, I gave them a lot of reasons why I didn't want to do it over the phone. I'm like, I'm concerned about miscommunication. I want to make sure that I see all the charges before I agree to anything. I want to be able to play with certain values. I want to be able to compare to other companies that I could be using. Believe me, I swear to God, I was cool as a cucumber for most of this. Oh, and I made very clear as I was getting upset, I was like, I know this is not your decision, so I'm not mad at you. I am just mad at what's going on here. And
sure,
you know, if you want to say to your higher ups, like, hey, some people are really pissed that we can't do this over email, maybe they'll make a change, you know? But yeah, so that was my big, I turned into a real angry man. And I got off the phone, put in my order with a different company. And then I went over to Kirsten and I was like, get a load of this. And she was like, I think you're a little, this is not the appropriate level of anger for what happened. And I was like, I agree. I am right.
Did you at all ask for a supervisor?
I didn't, because that always I feel like I'm being a Karen when I do that, you know?
I think there's a level of being a Karen, but then there's also like, hey, this doesn't make sense. And if I tell it to the grunt worker, there's no way that they're going to bring it up to you. But if I bring it up to you directly, then it might actually have a change.
Hmm. All right. Well, that is good information for the future. I will take that into consideration.
Jared's about to ask for your supervisor.
I have one more thing, guys.
Okay.
Rob, for fucking sake, man.
I know there's two R's.
I was wondering what he was typing. So for our viewers and listeners at home.
I'm having an Act 3 epiphany moment here.
Rob wrote K.
Rob just space. Solved okay. National Treasure in our chat.
Rob wrote K space A-R-E as an R, N. And then J.
Wait, hold on. That, which is the word Karen, but right. With a space between the K and the A and then he
wrote J space A R E space T.
So Karen and Jarrett both have A R E in the middle.
And my mind's blown. And
that's also not how you spell my name. My name has two R's in it.
Yes, that's true. That's what makes you almost a Karen, but not really.
Oh, here's another.
Are there two T's?
There were, because I ordered two R's. I specifically said I wanted two R's.
This is how this not is Jarrett's origin story, because Jarrett's mom is on the phone with the hospital. Being like, it's Jarrett. J-A-R-E-T. Yes, J-A-R-E-T. She gets the two R's.
What are we? K? What was it? K, right?
This could be a postcard.
J-A-R-R-E-T. Do you ever see it spelled that way?
She even said, she was like, can I just do this over snail mail, please? So here's another example of how I'm not a Karen. All right. So you guys remember my homeopathic doctor that doesn't return emails?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is going to, yes.
Okay, so I have had even more bad experiences with this doctor since then, where I was supposed to get a bunch of at-home tests that never came, and so I emailed about the at-home tests, and
maybe
I
didn't get the tests, and you just didn't know how to look for them.
Oh, they're in here.
Mm-hmm.
I emailed, I called. When I talked to the person on the phone, they were like, oh, you need to do this in order to get it, and I was like, okay, cool. I did that. Didn't get the test for another week. I had to email and call again and be like, hey, where are the tests? I had questions about the tests. I called yesterday. No one was in the office. And it's like so unbelievably unprofessional, except for the fact that the supplements that they had given me are working so much better than everything else that I have tried to cure my acid reflux. So I'm having a really hard time being mad at these guys when I feel so much better physically than I have in like a year. So I just want to be like, if that's the way you guys got to do it, that's the way you guys got to do it. It's a weird method. It's not my method, but I get it. But I understand.
Well, I would like to, for ketchup, I would like to say something. I would like to make an apology because on episode 101, which I don't know if it's come out yet, but we definitely have streamed it. I was, if you recall, going through a very tough time emotionally. I was very heartbroken. And in being consumed by that heartbreak, tried to cope as best as I could with it by bringing a joke to ITA that was, you know, true to what was going on with me. And in the joke, I was very, very dismissive of Leedy as a person. And even though I'm saying I was coping and I was consumed by heartbreak, it's still not an excuse to be, to be dismissive in that way. And that's something that, you know, I own and wasn't cool to do. So I want to put that out there.
It's pretty, pretty good apology, Brent.
Thanks.
I will say that while you were pitching the joke, Rob did make a point of being like, we're just talking about 20-year-olds in general, you know, not our dear friend Leedy, who we all care about. This is just a joke about 20-year-olds.
Well, and actually, you know, I spoke to her and she said she didn't realize it was about her until Rob said that.
Well, wait, I don't know. Rob said the opposite. Rob said he said it wasn't about her.
Why would he say that? Unless, and then she starts writing the letters down like I did in the chat.
Wait a minute.
Leedy, 20. It's two E's in 20.
It was a two. What? The Declaration of Independence.
I once was doing a show and somebody yelled out, "You're doing great." And I was like, you know, I really thought I was until you said that.
It's like you do a show and everything goes well, and then someone in the merch line goes, "Well, I thought you were funny." Right. Like, what? Not everybody thought I was funny.
Well, I appreciate the you mentioning that apology. I'm sure Leedy would as well. So thank you for that. Unless Jarrett edited the whole thing out, which is possible.
This is pretty boring. Just get rid of Brett's turn entirely. You do ask that we remove your turn from it, kind of joking.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was not. I think that was probably the worst episode I've ever done. I mean, in terms of my contribution.
No, definitely. There's a worse one that I can think of.
78.
That's on the top.
23. Liddy Bruce.
George Carlin.
So
also, Kristen Key was there, and she was vicious. All right. So if anybody needs to apologize to Liddy, it's Kristen Key.
I honestly don't remember much from the episode. It's all kind of a blur for me. I don't want to be mean spirited when I. Just because I'm hurting.
Yeah, of course.
I feel like that may have erred on the side of mean-spirited.
Well, keep an eye out on Monday, everybody. Check it out.
You're supposed to be punching up the drama. You're like, I don't think this is that. You should have been like, you can't wait. Monday, this is going to drop. We're going to get a response from Leedy next week. We'll see what she has to say. Jarrett, your catch-up. It just started sparking a bunch of different stories of things that happened to me recently.
Ooh.
As you guys know, I don't like being prompted to tell stories. I just like thinking, I was like, oh, yeah, that happened to me.
That's right, Rob. So we are not going to ask you to tell these stories.
Yeah, right.
Our order this week is... Put your guesses for the funny. Order in the chat, everybody.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah. That's a great time to do that. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to very quickly be like, yeah, so just tell us the story real quick. Oh, something else to say. Why don't you tell us?
Not going
to
do, not going to prop that. Absolutely not.
But then it was reminding me of like, this is the reason why for just such an occasion where, you know, sure, if something happened to me 2 days ago, it doesn't mean I'm going to talk about it necessarily. But if it's related, I go, oh, yeah, I got a story like that.
But what was it that you wanted to tell us, Rob?
God damn it.
You don't have to answer that, Rob. You don't have to answer that.
So, the Karen thing. So I have plenty of my own like personal Karen moments, and the most McDonald's French fries, if you guys mm-hmm. recall. The most recent one was I was at a Chipotle on 125th Street. I was about to catch the train going to my job, so I'm dressed kind of nicely. I'm like kind of in business mode, and I'm at the 125th Street Chipotle, which I've been to many, many times, but I will say that in recent years it has declined, just as New York has in general. Even further than usual.
I can vouch for this. Kirsten and I used to live really close to that Chipotle, and we used to order from there. And the amount of times that there were issues was way more than the amount of times that there was no issues.
There's a lot more, you know, despair going around, if I could put it that way. So I go in there, and I'm already looking around and noticing just like, oh, all right, there's people kind of just shuffling in and out, you know, strung out on heroin, whatever. I'm like, all right, let's go get my thing. But it does not stop me from still being a dick in this particular instance where I order my food. And then at the end, the woman said, she goes like, okay, that comes out to like 11:55. And I give her a 20. He's like, we don't have change. Is that all right? And I was like, and I'm kind of in like, I'm like an annoyed mood. So I'm just like, no, I mean, not really. You don't have change? Like, you don't have bills? She's like, no, we have bills. We just don't have any coins. And I said, oh, and you're asking me if that's okay? She was like, yeah. And I said, yeah, it's okay. Just charge me 11. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Which I know is already a contentious stance to take. But in my mind, like, she already asked me an absurd question, mm-hmm. which is, hey, we don't have 65 cents. Is that cool? And I was like, yeah, that's...
where are we going with this, Brett Drek?
I just was like waiting for that something close to an ARE to line up. He said charge, and I was like, I'm putting it in the chat.
It was so funny. Brett just posted the same thing I did, K:ARE:N, but then just the word charge, CH:ARG:E. So
I don't want to hop ahead in your story, Rob. Yes. I think it's hilarious that the attitude is we don't have we made a mistake. So are you cool with giving Chipotle extra money for doing this to you?
Yeah.
Like, is that all right?
See, someone else who was not in that Chipotle restaurant, by the way, who understands what I'm saying.
Well, most of the people in the Chipotle restaurant wouldn't understand because they're on heroin.
So anyway, I sometimes take this approach. It's not the best approach, where I have a very nonchalant, chill, flip answer that I like. As a matter of fact, harkening back to a story from like almost 15 years ago, where I was waiting for my brother at a Burger King, and I was just waiting for him, and I needed to use the bathroom. And so the entitled person that I was, and just being like, hey, I'm a human, maybe just trust me for this one moment, I was like, I was about to go to the bathroom. And then the security guard stopped me from going to the bathroom. Okay, so this isn't just like, oh, it's lock and key or whatever. He is literally like, hey, sir, like as my door is like hand is on the handle. He's like, sir. He says, sir, are you a customer? And I said, oh yeah, buddy, long time customer. And I started opening the door.
First time caller.
And like, it was instantly like, no. Like, he was so mad. And I was like, I am a customer. So I say that, and he says, oh, and he was so unhappy with me instantly. And I said, oh yeah, buddy, long time customer. Yeah. He's like, no, do you order something? I said, I'm good. And I forget exactly how it worked, but I effectively sneak into the bathroom anyway. And he was so mad. He was just like, because we got this real altercation. He called the police on me, and what? I couldn't, I was so.
Oh my God, it's Rob's old roommate. Oh my God. And then you end up living together like years later. Unbelievable.
I love that he called the police because the timing was going to work out just so, so well. Because he was like, oh, I'm going to call the police. And then sure enough, he does. He fucking calls. Hey, I got someone who, you know, he barged into this bathroom. Like, he's acting like I assaulted the guy. In the time that he called the police, my brother shows up. We order our food and we're sitting down eating, both of us. So, so, so good. I love it so much. And then two police officers just kind of like wander in, looking around like, what the fuck are we doing here? And then the security guard's like, yeah, all right. You know, kind of like, there he is, guys, you know. And I was like, hey, guys, yeah, I'm sorry. I was waiting for my brother and I went to the bathroom. So, you know, that's it. And the police gave like him and me both a look of like, what the, don't do that. Don't call us again. So it was
know, like, yeah. You said this took place a long time ago, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's even better if you imagine your Jesus hair, though. This is like a more Jesus looking human being could not exist. And we're just like, I called the cops on him, on this guy.
I know I told you guys this story too from like the very first, like one of the first years I was living in New York, where I didn't know that you couldn't like put your feet up like on the subway, whatever seats. Mm-hmm. And I was fucking exhausted. I'd worked in morning shift at Olive Garden. And then I put my feet up and I kind of just am like resting my eyes and a cop pulls me off the subway. And he's got some questions for me. He's like, where are you coming from, buddy? You know. And so finally, by the end, he literally was like, he's like, what do you mean you're going to work? What are you talking about? I was like, I work at the Olive Garden. He's like, what? I was like, the Olive Garden? And he said, what? One more time. And finally, I got mad. I was like, the Olive Garden. I was like, you haven't heard of the Olive Garden? It's a very popular restaurant. I'm a server at the Olive Garden. I went to work and now I'm coming home, which is where I live. And finally, it all clicked. And he's like, oh, he's like, geez. Ah. He's like, why are you telling me? I wouldn't have written you a ticket. I was like, I didn't know what you were saying, man. I was, you didn't understand the answers
no
to my questions.
Garden of olive trees in Times Square.
We're in a city, buddy.
You're like, Olive Garden. He's like, you live where? In a garden?
I remember the story from a previous episode. And you know what? Still funny.
I'm glad it was, because we're inception. We're three stories deep now. We're coming.
Did I then tell a story about how I got a canine unit called on me because I was taking a nap in like a pulled off on the highway?
Oh,
and
shit.
They
I don't remember.
They were like, yeah, I woke. Oh yeah, I woke up. I was like, I was going to meet Steve, and I was just like, I was doing crazy driving here, rent a car, blah blah blah. And I put the shirt over my eyes, and then I wake up to a knock on the window. There's a canine unit. He's like, we got a lot of drug users in this, so there's a special unit here. A lot of drug deals happen in this park, and we got a hit on your car. He's grilling me. He's like, you know, where are you going? What are you doing? And I'm like telling him, and he's like, you know, we got a hit on the car. You know, this is, you said it's a rental. I could see that it is. And you don't smoke weed, right? That's not something you do, right? And I'm like, no. And then eventually he asked me more questions, and I'm like, I'm opening for another comedian. I'm a comedian. And he's like, oh, he's a comedian. And then like the guys like, oh, and then like the other guys come over and they're like, so who are you opening for? I'm like, this guy, Steve Hofstetter. He's got like a big YouTube channel. And they're like, do you open for Fluffy? We like Fluffy. I was like, no. I sell drugs.
I sell drugs.
I like how they were like, we're concerned that you might be a drug user, but then you tell them you're a comedian. They're like, oh, okay. You don't do drugs. Comedians don't do drugs.
You know, I do want to point out, and as much as cops bug me and we need to reform the whole police system, I totally empathize with the fact that like, we're like, it must be so nice when they come across someone like me or you, where, because like, they are dealing with just the worst people.
Yeah.
A lot. You know, the people who already are committing crimes, have committed crimes, or about to commit crimes. People are like alerting them to a very sketchy, bad character or someone who's at least making them uncomfortable. And they're like, ah, and they got to show up. And those people are lying. And those people are, no, because you see what I was doing. You're like, oh my God, you know. And so it must be so refreshing when they start questioning, and then when they get to the bottom, they're like, oh, it's just like a misunderstanding. Or like, oh, that's actually really nice because, you know, we got to fucking do this.
I feel bad for paramedics in the same.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe I feel a little bit worse for them because they're like literally like, we're here to help people. And then it's like these people are taking advantage of this so they can get a ride across town, or they are like trying to stab me while I'm trying to help them stop bleeding to death. And it's, it's just, it's, I feel bad.
There is some kind of like disorder. I don't really know if it's like codified in the DSM or something, but like people who like struggle or having real issues in New York, I've noticed is like, they just want some attention grabbing that they want. You know, like, I don't know if you've ever experienced just like a vagrant dude or kind of a crazy person in the subway, like just making noises, things, because it's like, hey, you know, it's almost like they're like, fucking right here, man. Like, you ignore me, you know, like there's like that attitude. And that extends in my mind, this is just my like, you know, disorder headcanon, that like that extends into like when people fuck things up in the bathroom, smear shit on the wall, do this behavior, or, you know, this kind of like they're so down and they just feel like they've been so shit on by the world and society that they're just like, hey, like they're just gonna do anything to be like, you can't, I'm fucking right here, you can't ignore me, you know, they, as if they just want like this attention seeking.
I shit on you by putting shit on the reflection of you looking at yourself.
This makes perfect sense to me. It's like, I leave here and I am invisible to everybody. I make people sad. People pretend I don't exist. And so I'm going to show the world that I can have an effect on it. I can, I'm here, and here is evidence that I exist, you know, and that evidence is I, you know, do a loud outburst on the subway, or I put my poop somewhere, you know?
Yeah. I don't even want to like make a joke about it. That's just exactly the thought where there's something. I mean, it's not coherent and it's not good, but we all know that people who do attention seeking behavior don't do it in positive ways most of the time. All right, now we're almost, we have to kick on that because of that cycle. Okay, we talked to the security guard guy and we're back to...
Don't ask Rob to tell any of these stories. It might just happen naturally. We gotta let it happen. Just like let it occur.
It's a butterfly.
Okay, yeah. Put the pieces together. National treasure, Rob. Whatever you gotta do.
So now we're back.
How did that story end? The Chipotle story.
So the Chipotle one, you asked me, don't ask him. That.
All right. Well, that's it for me.
I don't know. I don't remember. It was like whatever.
Game. Zip, zap, zop. Like, I'm out. Simon didn't say.
Simon didn't say. You reminded me of another story. I'm going to tell it now. Sorry.
Yes.
my brother Steve, one of his claims to fame was during like a college freshman orientation, he won like the biggest game of Simon Says that he has ever played and will ever play probably in his life. Maybe it was like all the RAs, you know, that were there, or maybe even a bigger group. And they're like, we're going to do some team building exercise. We're going to do a big game of Simon Says. And he was just like, I'm all right. And then he starts doing well. He's doing well. All the classic tricks. You know the tricks, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this guy was a Simon Says professional. Like, he knew everything. He knew, you know, the list, the fake out, whatever. Do this. This went on for fucking ever. He couldn't believe how long this game was going on. He's like, oh my God, I don't know how much longer I can still last out. And then the guy fucking couldn't, like, it was still down to these like three people, maybe four people, something like that. And it was just like down from like hundreds. And he just couldn't stop it. He could not get to do it. And the guy, you know, maybe he's like wearing one of those little headset mics, whatever he's doing, you know, getting paid in this thing. He's like, oh my God, like after like two or three, he can't get him. He's like, oh, he's like, all right. He's like, guys. He's like, I cannot fool you. Give it up for your winners. Everybody give these guys a round of applause. These guys are all winners. They're all going to share the things. He's like, come on up here. Get your prizes. It's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And my brother's like, oh, God. It's a fucking trick. And he's like, I am not moving a fucking muscle. And he was like, it was so hard because he just so perfectly, he's like, the game's over. Like, it's definitely done. Thank you. A big round of applause. Let's stop being idiots. Come on, get up the prize. And I was like, no, like, why would I do that? Like, Simon didn't say. And he was like, ah. And then the three people or two people, whoever they were, they're like, ah, yeah. And they go up to get their thing. He's like, oh. And then he says, that's the real winner. God. He was like, oh, my God. Crazy. Just whatever.
Excellent.
I wish that one other person had stayed so we could see his next trick. Because you know that wasn't it. That wasn't that wasn't his final form.
No, that was the penultimate trick. There was still something waiting in the wings, for sure. Anyway, so back to Chipotle. So she says, no change. I said, yeah, that's fine. You could just charge me 11. She's like, I can't deal with this. Let me get a manager after two or three exchanges. She just starts doing heroin. She's like, you know what? It's people like you. So then the manager comes over in the same situation. And he's just like, "Hi, sir, you know, we don't have change. We did put a sign up that says we don't have change. I actually don't see this sign personally." And I said, you guys not carrying coins doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Most restaurants are pretty good. It seems like you guys do a lot of business." And he's like, "Well, you know, we're not trying to make an issue of it. So we just don't want to change." And I said, "Okay, well, your employee asked me if it was okay that she just keeps, you know, 65 cents of mine, that I donate 65 cents to Chipotle Corporation or whatever. So if your standard policy is to just ask me and pressure me to make sure that that's okay, I'm just asking you, Chipotle, to do the same thing. Just give me 55 cents." He's like, "Well, we don't do that." And I was like, "I don't do that." I was like, that's a personal policy of mine that I don't give you 65 cents for no reason. I was like, just charge me 11. It's not a big deal. Like, and I'm trying not to be too obstructive. A line is starting to form, not a huge line. There's like one guy waiting to pay, I think, and then another woman who's about to be on the line. So it's really just two. But the woman was not happy with me. And at
she
some
could
point,
use some heroin.
At some point, she explodes. And here's the thing, too. Like, Chipotle was also bad. So nobody was being stopped from taking her order. And that kind of ticked me off. I was like, I'm dealing with the manager who was not taking orders, doing anything. I'm just having a conversation with him. If they want to take somebody else, like, that's his prerogative.
Well, we're watching.
Say again?
We're watching.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of
going on. I want to see how this turns out.
So then this woman, she's like, she just explodes and she's like, it's not that big a deal. It happens a lot of restaurants, okay? It's not that big a deal. Just keep moving. People got to eat. You know, she starts yelling at me. And I'm like, God damn it. It's always bad when you fight, you know, talk to Hitler, you're fighting a battle on two fronts. No good. You can't, don't do that. So now I am.
Rob will take inspiration from anywhere. You know, it doesn't matter.
You can't fight a war on two fronts. And so I was like, God damn it. And like, now this woman, like, she's making me seem like I'm like soup, so the aggressor here. And I said, all right. And he's like, you know what? It's fine. He acquiesces. He's like, it's okay. Fine. 11, you know? And I said, thanks, man. I was like, look, I'm sorry. Like I was about to, if I didn't speak up, I was about to pay 12 a second ago. Now I'm paying 11. I really don't see why, how I could be so wrong in this situation. He's like, it's cool. So I give him the money and she's just, you know, she's like, geez, it's not that big a deal. You got to eat. You know what I'm saying? You're coming in here, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she's now getting mad at me. And she got so mad at me and just like bitched me out so good that I just had to say to her, I was like, hey, I'm allowed to just say what my piece is. I wasn't holding up the line. Everybody's fine. You know, they should have taken your order. I was like, I'm just trying to not be charged a thing. Like, I'm not trying to hold up the line. She's like, okay, man, whatever. You know, now she's like, just shut up. I was like, oh, I'm just saying that you're allowed to, you're speaking to me. I was like, I'm allowed to just speak back to you. You just said something to me. I said something to him. Like, I'm allowed to have a conversation with him. You felt okay to yell at me in the middle of a restaurant. Now I'm just talking to you. And she was like, goodbye. And I was like, I'm just saying, if you want to yell at me, I'm going to have a response for you. Like, I'm allowed to, goodbye. And I was like, all right. And then the dude who was directly behind me, now he turns to me, he's like, she said goodbye, man. She said goodbye, bro. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. I was like, I heard that she said goodbye. I was like, and then I had to respond to him. I was like, yeah, man. I was like, when someone yells at me and then immediately says goodbye, I don't think, oh, the conversation's over. I just got yelled at, but she said goodbye. So I guess she's not here anymore. I was like, but she is here. And I said, look, everybody's allowed to speak. That was my final speech. I was like, I spoke to him because I was upset. She was upset at me, so she spoke to me. Now you're pissed at me. So I was like, everybody who talks to me, I'm going to talk back to. I want to be clear.
And the other hand that I have. He said, she said goodbye, okay? You're like, oh, I'm just there for an hour arguing with everybody who comes through Chipotle.
The guy at Harrah was like,
I say they had the sign like, we don't have change. You should have a sign that says, if you talk to me, I will talk to you. So that's my sign. That's the sign that says here. Yeah. I will say this though, Rob, of all three of us, there is nobody who is more about math than Rob, I think. Which is why I think it's so weird that you were going to be charged $11.55. You're going to be charged $12 for an $11.55 burrito. And you kept on saying that they were stealing 65 cents from you. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting? Multiple times. 5 cents.
I didn't get my math wrong every cents. Time.
Yeah, how about that? Interesting.
Why did I say
Who
that?
Who the fuck are you?
This isn't a Rob story.
Wait a minute.
That's so funny.
Pull off your mask.
You know, also, Rob doesn't go to Chipotle. He eats at McDonald's. That's way too fancy a
way restaurant. Way too highbrow for
Rob Ryan.
There was this guilt component at the end of this whole thing, because I prefaced this with the fact that this Harlem location was not doing hot. This woman was so distressed herself, and she just wanted food, and she's like, whatever. And so she's coming out at me, and I couldn't help. I was like, I'm doing okay. I'm currently comfortable in life, and this guy's got to deal with vagrants on a daily basis, and then the people in line, all of which were black, and I'm sitting here white, and I'm just like, no, this is important. And this woman's having like a fucking meltdown, like mm-hmm. as if this is just like the last straw. And so as I was just eating my meal, and the guy who's like strung out is just like making his rounds, you know, circling the restaurant, I'm just like eating my food. I was like, it's like, geez, I don't want to make people upset. I don't want to ruin their days. You know, it was hard not to contextualize what was kind of going on. Like, for me, I'm just having a mere philosophical debate, you know, at the mm-hmm. end of the day. Whereas I may have just fucking ruined this woman's afternoon. And I was like, I'm not trying to do that. I don't want to do that to people. Mm. Oh, here's the craziest part. Not craziest, but fun. They didn't ring me up for my drink. I thought it was small. And I was like, you didn't ring me up for my drink. And I was like, God, and you're incompetent? Unbelievable. So I get back online. I come back to the same manager. I say, hey, you guys didn't ring me up for a drink. I just want to buy a drink. I pull up my cash. And he's like, he hands me a cup. He's like, don't worry about it. I was like, dude, this is unbelievable. Really?
You're like, you know what? I want more.
Give me $2 change.
When she was just going like bye at you, like bye, bye, you should have done that back to her. Like, bye. It's great seeing you. Can't wait to do this again.
I was like, hello.
This is an acting exercise that we do. Bye, hello, bye, hello, bye, hello.
I love it, Rob. I love that you will take a stand for that stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate
Even
it.
Even
I don't know if
it's a bad look.
Yeah, I know. And I feel bad about it. If I may just say my philosophy on this, and I think I may have mentioned this before, but for those listening, in case you haven't heard it, I do feel like you should stand up for what you believe in, especially things that matter more than what I'm talking about. But I think that we all actually need to practice standing up for what we believe in. We think that if the stakes were high, or if the thing really mattered and it was like, oh my God, this is like, you know, I believe in this so much, this is the time I need to step in, that you think that that would be enough impetus for you to go ahead and jump into the fray. But I contest that that would be the case. I think that even in the things that we care about the most, we will likely freeze up because we have such little experience. It's like FBI training. They try to get their adrenaline super maxed, peaked out during certain exercises, because they need to train their bodies to literally be able to deal with that level of adrenaline and not just peak out and lose it. If you have too much adrenaline, you'll freeze and you'll just fuck up. But if you're used to that level of adrenaline, you know, then you get into the zone and you can start like really just mastering things. You'd be like fucking, you know, Michael Jordan, game 6, whatever. But you need that practice. And I find that even with small things, things that you're like, I could let this go. It's kind of good to practice getting uncomfortable, fighting, you know, a battle on two fronts, maybe having public opinion not so much on your side, at least in the moment, right? You're like, oh my God, this feels terrible, you know? But if you can kind of push through that feeling, then when that moment comes up where you are, you know, at that MAGA rally or the fuck, you know, whatever your thing is, that you can rise to the occasion.
All right. Well, now that we got all that out of the way, you got anything for the catch-up, Rob?
Great catch-ups, though. I love
it. Great catch-ups.
I do want to get to some of these chats because we did ask in the beginning.
All right.
We got a first-time chatter that I want to point out. Steve Hofstetter said, ooh, yes, I'm a customer. I'm currently ordering a number 2.
Hey, that's funny because he's going to the bathroom. Remember?
Yeah.
Steve also texted me. This could have been an email.
What, the whole podcast?
Okay, our guest is from the Order War for the Order. The spot. We got from Molly Mets fan, we got BJR. From Dizzy by Nature, we got BJ Space R for reasons. And from Savvy Thing, we got JBR.
Ooh, you know what? Three great guesses, but none this wow. week.
Oh, wow. What a bunch of fucking idiots.
This week is Robert Jarrett. Robert Jarrett. Hey. Or this week is Robert Jarrett. Rob, are you okay going first? You need to,
I am okay rest your vocal cords a little bit.
You had a real marathon there.
So
we got a lot of people watching right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. So we'll get the joke.
Well, they heard that Rob was on a tear, and I was like, get in here.
He's doing it. He's doing a catch up.
Morpheus is fighting Neo.
I'll tell you what I like about that, Brett. I'll tell you what I like about that. Is I was searching my memory bank for an example in media where that happened. And what I came up with was an example that I didn't think anybody else was going to get. It was The West Wing, when Allison Janney's character is going to do a thing called the Jackal. And everybody's talking about it like, ooh, see, she's got to do the Jackal tonight. Ooh, they're doing she's doing the Jackal. She's doing the Jackal. But I didn't think that was gonna register. Yours, on the other hand, beautiful, so perfect.
Because it's also like contentious. It's a fight. So, it's so funny.
Rob's fighting the establishment.
Rob's fighting Chipotle.
And also, the fact that it's like these two titans.
Alrighty, I got a silly one here. I've noticed more. It seems like girls are more comfortable talking about pegging. Like that they would be cool to do that. And, you know, I think just more girls are kind of getting that, like, yeah, like that sort of lust for like, I'm fucking do that. I'm going to dom, I'll strap, put a strap on, peg a guy. And none of my guy friends are talking about that. This is interesting. So I think there's like an imbalance here of like girls being like, yeah, guys like, I'm cool with that.
Demand so is high.
Yeah, the demand is high. And so it just makes me laugh, this sort of imbalance of like, what, now you got all these girls are like, can't wait, I want to peg. And then there's just not that many men out there. So I assume that what's going to eventually happen is just like, if you know, the girls are going to have to start settling for who they are pegging. Peggers can't be choosers is what I'm ultimately saying. There's also like an overarching thing that I am curious about, how, if my observation's even correct, that like guys typically are like, oh, I want to get out there and have sex with girls, and girls are like, you know, we're the deciders, we'll know. And now there's like, it's funny to see the quasi role reversal of girls be like, I want to peg, and guys be like, hey, like, whoa, like,
you gotta get to know me.
Yeah, let's talk about this first. So there's also that, which I think is obviously richer than just the one line.
Do you feel like you hear a lot of female friends talking about pegging?
Yeah, I do.
Not an observation I've shared.
I have definitely observed.
Yeah, you're not hanging around right ladies.
I guess so. Yeah, I've been in a relationship for a year, so I guess a lot has changed in the last year. When I get back into the dating world, it's going to be wild.
Well, in the first year that Kirsten and I were dating, she was sort of like messaging two of her friends, and they had all gotten into relationships around the same time. And they were like, we should all peg our boys at the same time. And they're all like, yeah, totally. And I was like, what's going on over there? And I looked and she showed me and I was like, oh, I'm not doing that. I kind of want there to be an example of a woman settling for a guy to peg. Like, what are the things that this guy has and does that her girlfriends are like, why are you with this guy? You know, and then her response to that maybe can be peggers can't be choosers.
Sometimes I think of ideas and I'm like, well, this is most natural in a script. And this was one of those things where I was like, if I was writing some, you know, zany comedy, then that line could come up pretty naturally. Because even the best way for me to think of it is like, well, maybe I'd have to, you know, make some fictitious friend who's like going back and forth, like, yeah, well, I want to do this, but he doesn't want to. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just being like a helpful advice giver and being like, you know, peggers can't be choosers. So maybe you should just pick, you know, guy A, because he said he was cool with it. The line is funny. How much of a walk I take to get there, I guess, is.
I think that it doesn't have to be a long walk. I think that there are plenty of moments throughout where. Yeah. You know, for example, you know, demand is high could be, you know, like almost the same way. We just did a Patreon episode where we showed each other our first stand-up sets. And you had these longer bits, like about going to the bathroom in yours, that had like little laugh breaks all throughout. And I think you could definitely do that with something like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially if there's more stuff to flesh out there, then the line is just the line. It's just like, and sometimes it's fun when I try to find what germinates the actual joke itself. And you're like, it was just line. Like, it was just I woke up in the morning and I was like, "Peggers can't be choosers." That's funny. And that's all I have. And then you could
then you had to tell this cop about why you were had your feet up on the subway. hold on, let me write this down. Okay,
this is a funny joke.
You know what? This is again unrelated, but I just realized what would have been so funny on the Patreon episode, since I went last, is if I just showed like my most recent set. And I was like, yeah, it's my first set, but it's clearly like within a week.
All those Trump jokes you wrote really are going to make a lot of sense. That stuff about the tables are turned, like now men are the deciders. I think that could really be fleshed out at the beginning of the joke also, you know. I think the reaction of a woman being like, well, isn't that interesting that you don't want to immediately get penetrated? How about that?
She just picks me up from the airport. I'm like, thank you so much. Do you have any chapstick? Yeah, it's in my bag. I go through her purse. It's like just a strap-on dildo there. I'm like, what did you think was going to happen? What did you think? What? I know, I just carry... That doesn't mean anything. I carry it with me everywhere. You don't know. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
By the way, another unrelated thing, but nobody seems to age out of finding condoms extremely funny. When I was at my most hoary and I had always had condoms on me, occasionally one would fall out of my jacket. And every time there were like people who are above 30 would be like, oh, my God, condom! I'm like, yep. And they're like, who does this? I'm like, mine. And they were like, ah!
I can't believe you practice safe sex. That's insane. What if it's a girl that you're already sleeping with and she asks to peg you and your response is, I just don't feel that way about you, you know? Ooh, where it's like a sexual relationship is a pegging relationship are like the difference between a sexual relationship and a friend relationship.
And then there's reserving it for a birthday or something like that.
Thank you guys for the help.
All right.
No problem.
Great bit, Rob Ryan. Next up we got... Ooh.
I got a short one here. I get it. Carpe diem. Seize the day. YOLO. Tomorrow's never promised. But I'm 36 now. So I know that tomorrow's never promised. But it feels like yesterday has happened a lot.
I like this. some like, ooh, that's a thinker. I gotta figure this one out a little bit.
Yeah. And I wonder if there's a way to kind of go into this weird thing of like, everyone's like, oh my God, you know, tomorrow's never promised. But like the people who are saying that they're all alive. So they're kind of like somewhere in the longer you're alive, somewhere in your brain, you're like, but I'm special, right? Yeah, COVID, you know, I didn't die 9/11. You know, like there's just so many things. Every time there's like a threat, I've never been in a mass shooting. Like, you know, I'm just like, oh, yesterday just keeps happening.
Yeah, that feels like a song lyric more than a joke, but I do enjoy it. I love it's just like, ooh, yeah, snaps. That's interesting, you know?
I like that line about there keep on being yesterdays as more of like a tag after the original punchline, because I think that there might be more material here if you take it from the perspective of, yes, tomorrow's not promised, but like we know it's, like generally like 99% of the time it's like mostly we know it's not promised, but like is there something that's not guaranteed but that we're like almost 100% sure is going to happen? Like that's what tomorrow is for most.
Yeah, I mean, if scientific theory is anything, it's like, well, every time I drop a penny it's going to travel at this specific velocity and but then one time it couldn't, you know,
right?
But so far it's done it every time.
well that's the next step of this logic, which is, should I base my decisions based off of this 0.001% chance of something happening? Probably not, but you're kind of, we're all on board with like sharing that advice, but being like, you should live every day like it's your last. You're like, but it's not, like 99.9% of the time it hasn't been, it probably won't be. So should I be doing that? That doesn't make any sense. Like I've always kind of tried to strike a balance with that too. I'm like, okay, but then you're never going to invest. You're never going to this. You're never gonna that. Yeah.
I just went in a little rabbit hole where I was like, every human being that has ever existed has died, but I've never died. Ergo, whatever, you can fill in the blanks there. But as I was thinking about that, I was like, you know what? We're not sure that every human being that's ever existed has died, because some humans disappear, you know? Without a trace.
That's very optimistic thinking. That could be the angle. Yeah. Be like, all right. Whenever I hear someone go missing, I'm like, ooh, you know? The person's either dead or they're immortal.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're living in the woods.
That's why people are always looking for like missing children and stuff. They want to find the secret to immortality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How'd you do it?
Mm-hmm. Oh man, my kid was dead.
That's the real bummer.
Ignore
mortality.
Yeah. What you want is to find the Lindbergh baby, and it's still a baby.
Jesus, the most famous among them. You know, they just check that tomb and they're like, he's God. The body's God. Where did he go?
He must have come back to life.
I guess
that's the only explanation.
There's a movie that is like that, actually. It's just like little.
Are you thinking of The Man from Earth?
Maybe. As Brett knows, I don't know the titles of movies I've seen.
Is it a college professor who is having his last day retirement party and people from all the different specialties, the biologist, the English department, everybody came over to wish him well, and he decides he's just going to tell them, I've been alive since the prehistoric era. You know, you're all really smart. Prove me wrong. You know,
no, that's not the title. I think it's The Man from Earth.
It's definitely The Wave.
It was a Hitler youth rally.
That's why you said that.
Well, I love that movie, Rob. It's just like a really cool movie. It was written by a guy who used to write for Star Trek.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it goes down a lot of the different, you know, thought processes you might have of like, oh, I wonder what happens there. Like, because it's crazy since he's lived for so long, you know, you get into a lot of skirmishes, and since he can't die, it's like, you might get locked up in a prison for some period of your life. You're like, that was a shitty 30 years, but luckily everyone died in that prison, so I'm fine now. Or whatever. Yeah. He's like, oh God, I just get into some crap. You're like, fuck, how do I get out of this thing?
You know, I'm sure there's like a limit on knowledge that your brain can hold. So at a certain point, you'd probably have to like either just start forgetting information and therefore like repeating, you know, mistakes and stuff and like just be totally new to you. Or you just have to have like external brain hard drives, all this external storage. Like, oh, that guy's like 2,000 years old. That's why he's got all those USB-Cs coming out of his head.
That's really funny. You can't just answer that one question, right? Oh, you live forever. Like, what does that mean? Does it mean that I will never just naturally deteriorate? You know, the way like what a lobster might? Is that the right animal?
Lobsters keep getting bigger and bigger. So there's a guy that's like 10 feet tall. You know, because he just keeps on accumulating years.
Because lobsters don't age, right? Unless they are killed unnaturally. Is that the thing?
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, lobsters just get bigger and bigger until they don't die of natural causes. They have to die from predators.
Right.
Really?
I think so. I think I read that. I'm not super confident about it. I'm relatively confident.
Me and Jarrett both have been fed that information
at
different times in our lives. So it's a big lie, if not. It's a big conspiracy.
I would love it if it was true, and I hope that it is, but I really would love to, like, we should at the very least be, like, protecting at least one lobster to just see how long it can go.
Yes, of course. If there's not a current ongoing research study that just has, like, just some giant-ass fucking lobster that we're all protecting communally.
We couldn't do the study because we would bankrupt just feeding the fucking thing. We would bankrupt us. At a certain point, we have to stop the study and eat the lobster. Oh, that could possibly be also just like the lobster just looks so fucking delicious that every scientist that's
we never
tried
get
the
past,
study
has just been like 30 years.
All of a sudden, come on, you figured out. We proved it. Oh, stop it.
Guys, I just got a Chablis. It'll go really well. With the lobster.
I just bought a 10-pound gallon of butter sauce. Stop it! No 10-pound gallon of butter sauce. Get that out of this research facility. Just say it.
Oh, guys, I finished that study where we give the lobsters one regular water and one cocaine water. And so it turns out, wait, we did what? That wasn't the experiment. I guess we just have to eat the lobster then.
That's so funny. I wonder how, I've never had a joke really, but just an idea about like tortoises and how like they can live to like 250 years, 200. And they don't move around a lot either. So they kind of see a lot of the same environment. Like, I wonder how jaded they must be. Like how just like, rock. Like I get it.
They live for 250 years, but they want to die for the last 150.
That's why they keep trying to like wander out into the road. We keep them like, I saved a tortoise today. No, you didn't.
Maybe I could use it in like an, if I can come up with a situation where I can use this as an argument where somebody's saying like, you know, they're doing something rash and I'm trying to argue against it. They're like, you know, I got to seize the day. Tomorrow's never promised. I'm like, yeah, but yesterday's happened a lot. So
that's very quick and to the point. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, like how many times do we have to prove to you that like tomorrow's going to happen? So just start. Stop thinking that way. No, man. You never know. It's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have 10,000 days under your belt. Like, it's going to happen or whatever.
There's been a fight in every Marvel movie, but we don't know that there's going to be one in the next one. Yeah, but we could be reasonably confident that there will be one in the next one.
Right. You know what made me think of, too, is would you like to know, if you could know, the like exact, not circumstances, but date and time of your death?
No, I don't think I would want to know.
And there's nothing I can do to change it.
Type it in the chat, everybody.
When's Jared going to die?
Well, everybody's running tomorrow. Weird.
Part of me thinks no is the right answer for me because it's like, well, I don't want to affect what I'm doing right now. I'm going to live a wildly different life. I don't know what kind of life I want to live. Like, if I knew I had even just 10 years, I know I would probably live it drastically different, but would that be for the better? I'm not 100% sure. And you think about some people who did die young, and you think about some of the great things that they accomplished, achieved, you know, either personally, artistically, you know, whether it's falling in love, having a kid, would they have gone after that particular goal with such fervor, not knowing what the future may bring? Ever seen the movie Arrival?
I have seen the movie Arrival.
No spoilers, but...
It's a Hitler Youth thing at the end.
Good, aliens come over, but it turns out it's Hitler Youth. touches on those themes a little bit too in a very satisfying way. I really love that movie.
I disagree. I think that if I knew the date of my death, I would be like, all right, well, now I can have a plan for everything leading up to that date. You know, I can make sure to try to accomplish all the things that I want to accomplish before then.
Yeah, I think it would ruin spontaneity for me.
Come on, spontaneity, play roulette. I was trying to invent like a phrase that like your dad would say, you know.
It'd be cool if there was like a genie type powerful character who's like just totally not trustworthy. And so like the premise that they lay out for you just isn't correct. They're like, hey, I can tell you exactly when you're gonna die. Like, oh, this. And then like, they're like, oh my God, they just start living life. And then they're like, get badly hurt. And they're on their deathbed. They're like, yeah, I was kidding.
I love it. I've never heard of it. That's awesome.
That wasn't real. What are you talking about?
That feels
about?
Like a spec script for the TV show Lucifer.
You get three wishes and then they get to the second wish. You're like, nah, you only get two.
Oh, were you saving up for the third one? No. Like, there's no rules that they have to follow. It's not like, you know, Bedazzled or it's like, oh, you said, like, they're not twisting. They're just fucking lying. That's it for their own amusement. They're like, but you said, yeah, I said a lot of things. I'm fucking
yeah, I'm the fucking devil. What do you think?
I came out of a bottle. Why would you believe me?
All right. Anything else? Everybody, should we move on?
Let's move on.
All right. Well,
who's up next?
If you have any guesses for who's up next, please pop it in the chat.
Patreon pitch, patreon.com/ITAPod. Some excellent additional episodes that you can only get if you're a patron. Join for as little as $1 a month. Additional tiers, patreon.com/ITAPod. Next up, we got.
Oh, and this month, our first ever stand-up sets.
That's right. Our first ever stand-up sets will be the Patreon for July. Next up, we got. Jared Berenstein. There is a man named, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Goran Krop. Goran Krop he was a mountaineer. He made a solo ascent of Mount Everest without supplemental oxygen or Sherpa support in 1996. He traveled there on bike alone, and he tried to go back, but his bike got stolen while he was climbing Everest. And I just love the idea of getting back down from Everest and being like, motherfucker. You gotta be kidding me. I gotta get a ride back to Sweden.
That's great. That initial pop is so fun. And I was like on bated breath waiting for some other thing. I couldn't think of another thing. I was like, ah, does Jared have another thing? I can't think of anything, but this would be so funny if he's got something else. But yeah, I would love to find that something else with you today, if possible.
Yeah, let's do that. That's what the whole premise of the show is.
is there something with, like, well, that's what I get for putting it in a bad neighborhood?
I should have went up the Nepal side. This would have never happened. This would never happened in Nepal. I forget what countries that's.
What if he forgot his bike lock in Sweden and he was like, it'll be fine. And then he goes up there and he's like, God damn it.
Yeah, what else happens with bike thieves?
What I like is he comes in and he's like, yeah, I'm about to climb Everest. And all the Sherpas like, great, you know, we're ready for hire. And he's like, no, I'm good. We're good. Don't worry about it. And they're like, all right, we're taking his bike. They're just mad. And they're like, I'm good. I don't need you guys. Like, fuck this guy. This is our whole economy here. Is you pay us money, we get you up the mountain.
I like the idea that he's like right about to climb Everest. He's biking. He gets to the base of Everest. And then he just like does the kickstand and just like leaves it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think that's really funny.
Yeah.
He's just like, yep, but kickstand.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. Why wouldn't you just steal it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This kickstand always seems to me like such a city thing. You know, obviously it's not. Like, if you put your bike on the ground, it will get rained on and rusted. And, you know, like, there's a lot of bad things that could happen to it. But it's so funny.
He's like, well, I don't want it to be in the way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I would like to, now you're making me think about it, I'd like to just run an experiment where I set up a couple of, like, you know, hidden cameras and just like park a bike, you know, kickstand and everything, like right in the city, just see how long it lasts.
Or in the woods, see, you know, maybe you get a footage of a bear biking away.
That was another thought I had. It's like, what if it was an animal? You know, what if it was a bear?
Yeah, if it was Russia, you'd be like, oh, a bear took it.
Definitely took that.
Tell me if this line tracks. He gets back down to the hill and he's like, oh man, I was really looking forward to not walking anymore. Yeah, I guess if I just came down from Everest, I'd be like, did I have a bike? Am I freezing to death on the top of Everest right now and hallucinating?
Am I just suffering from hypoxia?
I mean, there are so many people that die trying to climb Everest. I wonder if that was part of the calculation. I was like, I didn't think you were coming back, you know? Oh.
That's funny.
It's going to be a dead guy's bike.
That could be fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is we're agreeing on a certain level of preparation. Right. But we all have to agree on what that level of preparation is. And then, but if you go any further or if you go any below, it's like a different category of feat that you've accomplished.
So you mean like supplemental oxygen versus not supplemental oxygen?
Even in your description, you felt the need to express that you're like, no. Here's the deal. No supplemental oxygen. Blah, 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 blah. But he was wearing clothes. he wasn't just him just hanging out naked because he would have died. So he had some unnatural thing, adhered to his body in some way, shape, or form that allowed him to actually physically do it. And so you're like, okay, well, clothes are all right. What about gloves? What about the little spiky feet thing? Okay, what about the, like at how many levels are there to things? I feel the same way about hunting. They're just sitting there like, oh yeah, we got a rifle. I'm like, well, just bring a bazooka. Like, who the fucking cares? At this point? If you're already bringing an instrument of death and you think that you have beat the lion somehow, like, why don't you just shoot it from a fucking helicopter? Why don't you just wage war on the fucking animals and be like, we won. I dropped a bomb on Zimbabwe and I'm sure I killed some animals.
What if it's a city bike? He's gonna get a fee.
He's on the phone.
Can't return it.
He's on the phone. No, you understand. I just gotta give you one more hour. I was at the top of Everest. They're like, okay, fine, we'll give you one more hour.
That is funny. I mean, there's a lot of knowledge you would need to have for that tag to work.
I don't know.
I think if you say city bike, people, say it was a rental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and what makes it worse, it was a city bike, so he had to get it back docked. He was really stressed out.
This is different from what we're talking about, but I'm trying to think of like what else goes through your head when you show up somewhere and your bike is gone and you're just like, all right, I'm sure I left it here. And so he's like, I'm sure I left it in Tibet.
Right? He was Swedish. Was that the thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or at least he started in Sweden. I don't know if I can do a Swedish accent. I know that it's, I know there's the Swedish chef on the Muppet Show, and he's got a kind of a hurdy burdy.
Hurdy burdy. That's true.
My bicycle is gone.
Perfect. That's just as good as Brett's German accent in his joke, mm-hmm. and it's super funny.
Yeah, it's did you already say that he may have, like, he accidentally climbed down the wrong side?
That was Rob's idea, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, no, the original idea was maybe I should have gone up the other side because it would have been a better neighborhood.
Right.
The bike in. Mm-hmm. So maybe he did go down the wrong side.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, when I'm not sure where I park my car, I'm like, maybe I'm on the other side of the mall.
Yeah, that's great.
It looks exact.
Maybe I came down in China.
They both had trees.
Hey, are you Chinese? he's Chinese. All right, yeah, okay. Right. I'm good. I know what happened now.
Thanks, guys. That was just, oh my God, the most shooting from the hip. Go to the slush pile, scroll down without even looking, scroll, stop somewhere. I see that joke and I'm like, perfect. That's it.
And that's how you climb a mountain, baby.
That's how you climb a mountain. All right. Well, thank you guys for your feedback on my bit. I appreciate it.
Thank you all for joining us. Thanks for sounding off in the chat. Thank you guys both for a great episode. We did for three people. We did a pretty nice long one here.
Chunky, man.
Yeah. Chunky ep.
Yeah. And thanks to all of Rob's stories that he
this ep is pudding.
Badunk. Yeah, lots of stories. I've been holding him in because everyone keeps on asking me to tell stories. I don't want to.
Well, we're glad you felt comfortable enough finally. Like my rescued cat.
Yeah, we're getting pegged.
Outro goes here.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks so much for watching. Check back every Monday for new episodes, or you can listen wherever you enjoy podcasts. If you want to help support the show, tell your friends how much you like Is This Anything? Or get involved. Like an episode, share, comment, subscribe. If you want more Is This Anything, you got to join our Patreon at patreon.com/ITAPod. We have a ton of awesome exclusive content on there, and you can join for as little as $1 a month. Check out the links in the description, and hopefully we'll see you next week.